Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
All right, I'm back. Coming in hot.
Guess who's back?
I'm back, baby. We got Mark's off today. He'll be back tomorrow. I got my man Stoke. Stoke in the hot box.
How we doing, buddy?
How you doing over there?
Good to have you back.
Stoke in the box.
There we go.
Stoke in the box.
There we go.
Yeah, it was a great week. I brought my
Did you have a good trip?
Brought my daughter out to college. I drove 2 days out to Syracuse, New York. Got her all moved in and everything, and then drove 2 days back. I saw America, man. I saw the heartland.
Easy drive.
Yeah, I mean it's
tough.
Easy. No, easy drive. Easy drive. A lot of trucks out there. Man, yeah. There are a lot of truckers out there. Along I-80, woo! I went through Colorado, Nebraska, Iowa. First time I've ever driven through Iowa.
Really?
Beautiful state. Let's see. Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, into New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite the trip.
48 hours of driving.
Solo.
All by myself. Loved it. Cranking up the tunes.
Good time to kind of reflect on things.
Exactly.
A lot of thinking's got to go on. A lot of thinking. That might drive me nuts. I'm not going to lie.
No, I got a chance. I looked at this Bridgewater lock thing from 85 different angles. And I guess with just the benefit of reflection is like I know a lot of people freaked out about this. I know there's been a lot of emotion spent on this. I guess I just don't see the downside here. And hear me out. You know, once George Payton took over and did not clean house and brought back Vic Fangio, you had to give Vic every opportunity for him to be able to save his job, show what he can do. It had to be Vic's call, right?
Yes.
And it doesn't surprise me at all that he chose to go with more of a veteran quarterback. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with more of a veteran quarterback than I am an unpredictable young developing quarterback.
Especially
right?
The young guy that hurt you last year.
Correct. So,
Mike, I really don't care.
Here's the way to look at it. How about finding a silver lining in all this? I look at it this way. If Bridgewater turns out to be the Bridgewater that we saw with the Saints, and this roster really is really good, and this team contends and wins football games right off the bat, who's going to be unhappy? Who out here in Broncos country is going to be unhappy if the Broncos start winning games early this season, regardless of who the quarterback is? And then if, as many people predict, Bridgewater isn't any good, the team struggles, who knows, maybe Vic Fangio gets fired, there is still probably 9 to 10 games possible for Locke to play in to show if he could be the guy.
Yes.
So I guess I'm kind of looking at it from the idea that I expect both quarterbacks to play, and ultimately it'll be a win-win for the Broncos. How about that?
I like that.
For 48
Mike.
Hours of
right.
driving reflection.
I like that. You know, that's, well, what'd you do for the other, 47 hours?
30 minutes?
Yeah. But no, I think you're spot on. Look, let's see what Teddy looks like. I just kind of like, my reflection, didn't take me 48 hours,
right.
Has been, hey, guess what? Especially watching this game on Saturday. Guess what, Broncos country? Neither one of these guys are Aaron Rodgers, right? You know, we thought we were going to get Aaron Rodgers. Mark Schlereth told us that. Start the party off right on his show.
I can't tell you.
Welcome back, Mike.
Just how much of a smile that puts on my face and the mad respect I have for you. 4 minutes in, you've already extended the Mark Schlereth smear campaign.
Day 15.
That is just job well done.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you. But, neither one of these guys are Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Okay, so you know, you see on social media, and Teddy starts off slow, and it's like the end of the world. Like the Broncos made the wrong decision. Oh my goodness! Just because he started off slow. What do you think that Teddy was going to come in here and save the day? No, there is going to be some ups and downs from your quarterback, from Teddy Bridgewater this year. There's going to be some moments, that some quarters that you look at and you say, wow, that was a tough quarter by Teddy Bridgewater. Okay. And it would have been the same for Drew Lock. Neither one of these guys are going to save the day. Okay. So just take a deep breath here and let it play out and see how they play, see how Teddy plays over the course of a game or two. But to all of a sudden, you know, after his first six passes to say, wrong decision, Vic. Oh my goodness. The sky is falling. Look, we told you it should have been Drew. And then Drew comes in and does the same thing. He's bad too. So let's just take a deep breath here. The quarterback's got to be part of the solution. The quarterback is not the solution.
You're right. In Bridgewater and Locke, neither one of them are Aaron Rodgers. But you know what they both are? They're both better than Paxton.
Oh, look at that. Whoa, is that how we're doing it? Oh, man.
I will see your Mark Schlereth smear campaign and raise you a Paxton Lynch.
Oh, wow.
That's, we just made history there. So day number 15 of the Mark Schlereth smear campaign and day number 2281 of the Paxton Lynch. So you got some ground to make up
here. Yes.
You got some ground to make up.
You know, we look up to y'all. And y'all have set the bar very high, and we're just starting this process,
yes.
but y'all are an example. We're going to strive to be like y'all.
Okay. Right? Well, and just remember the rule that goes with all these smear campaigns. Folks, don't overthink the math. Really. Just don't overthink the math. That's all I'm going to say.
There you
don't
go.
Overthink the math. All right. So,
but I like your thought process there. Looking at this quarterback and how it could play out here. You know, if Teddy doesn't play well, okay. Teddy's not going to, they're not going to play him 10 games of bad football.
Right.
I can promise you that. So if he's not playing well, you know, four, five, six games in, he's out, and then Drew will get plenty of time.
Right.
Just like he did his rookie season, he came in and played really well. I think it's going to be good for Drew. I don't think Teddy's going to fall on his face in this situation. But if he doesn't play well, Drew will play a lot of football. There's 17 of them things.
Exactly.
So just be patient. Let's see how this thing plays
and
out.
If you look up one day and the Broncos are, I don't know, 6-3, Teddy's playing well.
Yes.
Teddy's being accurate. Teddy's getting the ball to the right people, not throwing interceptions. They're playing really good defense. And they're 6-3. Who around here is going to be complaining about that?
James Maryland.
Well, maybe James. Besides James. I'll run that scenario by him at 6:45 when he joins us. But,
yes.
But the idea then would be, if they're 6-3, who's going to be saying, oh, yeah, well, they're 6-3, but I want to be seeing Drew Lock. And no, everyone's going to be happy if they're 6-3. So I think that there is a win-win element here in play. Speaking of wins, George Payton says Teddy Bridgewater gives the Broncos the best chance to win. What exactly is the best chance to win? What does that look like? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, good to be back. Brandon Stokely sitting in for Stinkle will be back tomorrow. A couple of quick texts. Millennial Blake texting in, I woke up this morning and was hit with the aroma of breakfast sausage. Has to be a sure sign that Evans is back.
They shoveled into the sausage.
Hey.
It's good.
I love me some good breakfast sausage. Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
The sausage.
And then there's this one from Rich. Welcome back, Evan. Stink was a little bit irritable last week. I think he was a bit intimidated by Zach Bye.
Wow.
I want to pound his ass.
Wow. I mean, Zach does kind of have that effect on people
he's a little,
sometimes.
You know,
yeah.
He gets a little feisty. He's like...
really pale skin and just kind of...
Sticks that chin out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that little... East Coast 2 to
yes.
his, you know?
Yes.
All fired up after eating his bagel?
That's right.
What the heck's a bagel? I asked him about that. I said, dude, I'm from the East Coast, too. I've never heard it called a bagel.
Who does that?
It's a Brooklyn thing. I'm like, all right.
Oh, no.
That explains it all right there. Hey, George Payton, during the broadcast, did his little interview with Greasy and Levy. And he was asked about Bridgewater, and he says Bridgewater gives the Broncos the best chance to win. What exactly? What is the definition of what? Like, I got this text from somebody. We were talking about the idea of, hey, listen, if the Broncos are 6-3, who's going to be unhappy? Who around here in Broncos country is going to be unhappy if they're 6-3, if Bridgewater is playing well? And immediately I got hit with, well, all you're talking about is a ceiling of bumping up against the wild card. Excuse me, Stook, have we been paying attention to what's been going on around here for the last? I would love to be in the wild card.
Mike, we're popping bottles. What has happened
that's a
here
ceiling?
The last 4 years?
All of a sudden, that's a ceiling to bump up again? This isn't 1999, folks, anymore. 1998.
Exactly. Times have changed. Expectations have changed. Let's get back to winning football games, right? I mean, that's the bottom line here. It's not like we have a Super Bowl window. So I think expectations have to change, obviously. So when you look at Teddy and you hear what George Payton says, to me it says they feel like Teddy Bridgewater gives them the best chance to beat the stinking New York Giants week one. And that's football minds. Like, that's how football coaches think. That's how players think. Like, you're not worrying about, you know, what it's going to look like when you play the Cowboys on, you know, November 7th, 17th, whatever. 7th. You're not worried about that. You're worried about the New York Giants. And because things change so much in the NFL week to week, we've seen it all the time. Teams change, situations change. All you have to do is go out and try to beat the Giants. And then we'll worry about the Jags after, because we don't know what they're going to look like. Then we'll worry about the Jets after that. And then the Ravens, and so et cetera, et cetera. You just kind of go 1 week at a time. But obviously, like you said, George Payton did a great job of giving Vic enough this year to go out there and win and compete. And that's their mindset. It's not about rebuilding, retooling. It's been like that since day one. And Teddy Bridgewater, they feel like, gives them the best chance to go out there and win that first game.
Okay, but what you can understand, though, there is, if you're talking about Bridgewater as there is a ceiling. Let's say the ceiling for games won with Bridgewater's 9. Okay? 9 wins.
Okay.
Okay? 9 wins will keep you in the conversation throughout most of the season. Okay? I don't think it won't get you a playoff spot, but you'll be in the conversation.
Yes.
But is that more important, reestablishing, you know, a bit of a winning culture, being in the hunt, that kind of thing? Is that more important with a ceiling on what Bridgewater can give you versus the idea of, hey, let's go out and try our best to develop and see what the ceiling is for Drew Lock?
And the problem is, you know, we did that last year for Drew. Right? I mean, we gave Drew the whole year last year. He went through the whole offseason this year. He went through training camp this year. Okay? So, you know, the idea of just holding out hope that Drew is the future franchise quarterback, I mean, that is pretty much come and gone, Mike. I mean, that's what, you know, I think the Drew Lock camp, and I'm neither side here. I'm just kind of, you know, taking it as I saw it, and I thought Teddy was the better guy.
But Lock did get better, though.
No, he did.
He did,
which is
get
good.
Better.
He got better. But did you see a franchise quarterback out there?
No, but I saw a guy that definitely has made improvement that would lead me to want to see more. Look, my feeling all along was if this thing is close at all, I'd rather go with the potential upside.
Yeah, well.
And, you know, that's my opinion. I understand why. If you're going to come back with Vic Fangio as your head coach, you got to give him – if you're George Payton, you said, all right, listen, Vic, I'm going to give you a chance to come back. I'm going to give you every chance you can to show that you can be the guy, and then I'm going to tell you your first big decision is you got to go with the long-term view at the quarterback position just because that's what I want.
Right.
You can't do that, right?
No.
So I understand why Vic is doing what he's doing. My feeling was always, if this thing is close, and it was, everybody agrees, this thing was very close between the two of them, I would have rather seen them go with the guy that at least has the potential to bust through a ceiling that I think exists for Teddy that, you know, he can't bust through.
Well, and I hear you there, but I think the way that they look at it is, you know, who's ahead here? You know, how close is it? I don't know. You know, was it two throws? Was it, you know, eight throws? Was it, you know, I think, you know, it wasn't that close. And
really,
and even if it was, even if I didn't think so. I didn't think it was that close.
What was the one or two distinguishing, I guess, characteristics of this competition that you think made it not close?
Well, I think Drew just still not quite turning the page from last year's mistakes. Those still haunt those coaches over there, right? And when you see them crop up, like in practice, and just holding the football too long, and we saw it again on Saturday, right, with the strip fumble. Yeah. And look, Teddy wasn't perfect either, but Teddy is the unknown. Teddy wasn't here last year, so Teddy doesn't have that bad history. They look at Teddy and they say New Orleans Saints Teddy, 5-0. That's the Teddy that we're going to have here. And they look at Drew as the guy that almost, you know, got him fired last year, and that was led the league in interceptions, lowest completion percentage. And he did get better, though. I'm not here to knock Drew. He did get better. And hopefully if he does get in there, he shocks us, or shocks me, and is more consistent and shows us maybe that potential to be the franchise quarterback. But he needed to do more of that, I think, throughout camp, and we didn't see the big step forward. We saw a little step
yep.
forward, but we needed to see a big step forward from Drew, and we just didn't
quite
see that.
But were you really going to be able to get that kind of big step in the way that the competition was laid out? Hey, one day you're working with the ones, the next day you're working with the twos.
You got it, Mike. You know, I mean, like, you know,
guys get it right away.
This is year three, Mike. I mean, that's the thing. We can't hold out hope forever and just keep praying that Drew Lock is going to really take a step forward. He's a second round pick. He's not a top five pick, you know, and I think that we also have to remember that he has shown potential, but goodness gracious, it's the NFL. I mean, I hope we have seen some potential and some bright spots there. So I really do think that this is a good situation, though, for Drew to be able to step back, watch, evaluate, deep breath, and just continue to grow and get better. And he will continue to grind. So I don't think it's a negative for Drew. And I think, like you said earlier, I think he will play. But I think just Teddy provides the best chance for the Broncos to win week one. And then we'll evaluate the situation after week one. That's all you can do in the NFL.
That's the thing, is that we sit here, fans, observers of this team, we can't help but look at the big picture. Whereas if you're Vic Fangio and you're trying to hang on to a job, you know, all you're thinking about is, how do I go beat the Giants?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think, you know, 9-8 this year, heck, let's go. I mean, we're a winning football team again. I mean, that's, you know, Marillac poo-poos about that and cries about that and says, oh, that's the worst possible scenario, but it's really not. Let's get back to winning football games
and
laying a foundation.
You go 9-8, I would think the overwhelming, I don't know about overwhelming, but definitely the majority of Broncos country would be overjoyed with 9-8.
I think so.
All right, we got the Morning Brew coming up. We'll hear from Teddy Bridgewater, Von Miller. And did this guy show signs Saturday night that he's poised for a big year? Tell you who it is next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
Know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet
Let's get it on!
Yeah, it's definitely good to be able to work through that adversity. Because as we know, throughout the course of a season, throughout the course of games, things happen. And when things go bad, what am I going to do? Pout on the sideline, have my head down? No, you know. We have a great locker room, a group of guys who will come up to you, hey, man, you know, you got this. Let's keep it going. And that's contagious. And that right there, that mindset, that attitude is what breeds champions and winners.
All right, Stokely in for Stink, who's back tomorrow. There's Teddy Bridgewater. What is your bigger takeaway, his start where, okay, here you go, Teddy, you're the guy, and he goes out in the first two drives and is 1 of 6 for 4 yards, or the way he finished up on the third drive, going 5 for 5 for 58 yards and a touchdown pass. What do you hang your hat on?
Well, I'm Mr. Positivity, so I'm going to look at that last drive and how they were able to bounce back, how he was able to bounce back and get things going in the right direction. Like he said, adversity is going to happen throughout the course of a game, not just a season, a game. And you're going to have a couple drives where you don't perform well. Well, what are you going to do? You're able to bounce back and get things heading in the right direction or not? So that's what I'm looking at here. Yeah, awful start. Not how you want to start it. But what did you do in that last drive? You had a nice drive there. You finished it off with a touchdown. Really good job of escaping the pocket and finding Cortland Sutton. So that's what I'm hanging my hat on. That's what I'm looking at is, you know, because it's not going to be perfect. And you got a lot of young guys on your offense. It's not just on Teddy. And so I'm looking at that thinking, hey, that's what I like to see. I'm glad. I'm actually glad that they had a little bit of that.
Next on the Morning Brew.
If I'm not winning the game, you know, single-handedly, I feel like I can do more. That's all I want to do is go out there and make game-changing plays for my teammates, whether that's a run or a pass or play action on any play. You know, I hold myself to, you know, a super high standard. I know you guys hold us to a high standard, but I hold myself way, way higher than that. So, but it was really good to get back on the field, and it was really, really good to play today.
You know, throughout camp, the best thing that you could say about Von Miller was he looks like Von, right?
Yes.
There was no discernible difference. So out there watching him first preseason action, I thought he looked like Vaughn.
Yeah, that was good to see.
That's a good thing, right?
Yes, absolutely. It was nice to not walk away from that saying, oh, man, Vaughn might have lost a step here. You know, he's starting to get older, coming off that injury. Just don't quite know what he's going to look like when it comes to real football, full-speed football. But Vaughn looked great. I mean, he looked like the old-school Vaughn, which is a great thing coming in here to say. Glad he knocked some of that rust off. Looking forward to seeing him, you know, against the Giants, seeing what that looks like. But I think that was a good first step for Vaughn, and he did look like the Vaughn of old.
And you just wonder, what will a healthy Von Miller, a healthy Bradley Chubb, be able to do? They flashed the graphic during the broadcast on Saturday, how they've only played together 20 games. That's it. They've only played together 20 games. But in those 20 games, they've combined for 31.5 sacks, 43 QB hits, and 7 forced fumbles. Just give these two some good health, and let's see what they can do over the course of 17 games. Next on the Morning Brew.
So it's good to be able to do that in front of our fans. We're excited about that, to come out with a dub. Obviously, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like Coach said, you know, preseason really don't mean nothing when you look back on the season. But it puts us in a good, you know, good direction moving forward to know what we need to do and how to do it.
I know I have to put all the qualifiers in. It is preseason. The Broncos mostly went up against second and third stringers throughout the preseason. But Melvin Gordon, another player who during practices looked sharp.
Yes.
And then went out and ran very well on Saturday night. I really think this guy's going to have a big year. I'm very excited about what this guy's going to bring this year. I wasn't that disappointed with him last year. I know a lot of people were. It's all the Philip Lindsay crazies out there. But I thought he was, for what he was given the chance to do and what he was working with, I thought he was good. And I think he could be even better this year.
Well, Mike, you're the one that discovered Philip Lindsay.
I did discover Philip Lindsay.
Let's not forget that.
Well, I'm glad you haven't forgotten that.
That's right. Yeah, it was just a mess last year. He started off slow, Melvin Gordon did. And I think that put him behind the eight ball a little bit. But he looks great. We've been talking about it all camp. He just looks great. He looks the part. And he ran the ball great. So, look, this team is going to run it a lot. You're going to need a few of those Melvin Gordon type of runs that we saw. But then also you look at Javonte Williams to add to that backfield. But Melvin looked great, certainly. And that's what you want to see. You want to get him a little bit of, you know, contact and get him used to playing real football going into the season. They were able to do that with a few guys, which is great. And you didn't see any setbacks with any of these guys. So moving forward, I thought that third preseason game, they really accomplished a lot of things. And Melvin Gordon was one of those boxes that you got to check.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Oh, this ball hammered deep left field, way back. Gone. Three-run jack, C.J. Stick shot. And the beat goes on in the month of August for the Rockies first baseman.
AT&T Sportsnet there with the call. Maybe it's because I was gone a week. you know, back at the Cuse. It was just, it was a very uplifting week for me, dropping my daughter off at school. But, you know, maybe a few more days here, it'll bring me back down to my grumpy ways. Maybe even it'll, all it'll take is visiting with James Marillac coming up here in just about 10 minutes. But I find myself, especially after this weekend, watching the Rockies take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers in L.A., two exceptionally pitched games from Kyle Freeland and Antonio Sensatella. I look at them. They're 60-70. Look, I'm not. I don't want to be throwing parades. This isn't something I want to get used to. But considering that we thought this team was an automatic 100-loss team this year, I'm actually kind of encouraged at some of the things that they're building and discovering to build on for next season.
Absolutely, Mike. I mean, Zach and I talked a lot about this. Give us a few guys we can look at and say, man, I can't wait to watch that guy for the next 3 or 4 years. And if you can do that this season, we knew they weren't going to be a winner. But if they could do that, give us some positivity around here after the Nolan trade, what's going on with Trevor Story. And they've done that. They've been a fun team to watch, and they've battled. And they're awesome at home. You know, they're terrible on the road, but there they are, 1 and 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. They just are a fun. They are a fun group to watch.
I don't know about fun.
They are. Mike, they're a fun group to watch. You don't think they're a fun group to watch?
Easy. Okay.
Because of the different stories that they have going on.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
I'm not acting like they're in first place, Mike. I don't want to go with fun. I think they're fun.
I think that there's, how about this? I think you'll like this better.
Okay.
I think there is a grittiness to this team that I didn't think existed.
And that's fun.
I don't know.
Oh, that's fun, Mike. Okay. Like when you watch that, that style of baseball is fun.
Okay, grittiness leads to fun.
There
How about
go.
That?
There we
okay?
go.
Okay, I'd rather not just say, "Hey, they're fun." Ooh, they're fun. You know, I'd rather there be something that, you know, builds towards being fun. And I think some of the...
Give me more.
Did you get that one, Benny? I gave you another one. First day back. I'm already the gift that keeps giving. All right, that'll do it for the morning brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Like I said, you know, a week away, I'm kind of coming in looking at the positive. Let's see if that can withstand a visit from James Marillat. He'll join us coming up next.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
James Marillat's walk-up music, everybody. I look at the rundown, let's see, what does Millennial Ben have for me this morning? James Marillat, the man, the myth, the legend at DenverFan.com.
Wow. Hey.
Brandon Stokely staying in for Stink, who is back tomorrow. So, James, I was thinking of you and enjoying your tweets Saturday night as Teddy Bridgewater jumped out to a 1 for 6 for 4 yard start through his first two possessions. So I'll ask the same question to you that I asked of Stoke. What do you come away from that less than glorious beginning after being named the starter, or the way he finished up 5 for 5 for a touchdown and 58 yards on that third possession?
Oh, I think it's the less than glorious beginning. He's facing a bunch of backups, and once it turned into the, you know, intramural team from Medved Chevrolet, he heated up. But, I don't think he's going to be 1 for 6 for 4 yards once the regular season starts by any means, but I do think that's somewhat a microcosm of kind of how he's going to play, right? It's a lot of dink and dunk. It was a lot of underneath stuff. It was, he wasn't connecting on it, but it still wasn't the football going downfield. So that's what they're going to see. They're a team that decided to try and win games 17-13. I think it's a mistake. But that's what Teddy's going to bring. And he got it going on that final drive. He had a couple of, passes to the tight end to kind of get going, one out in the flat. It's a really good call by Pat Shurmur. It's an easy throw, kind of the old waggle play, and you roll out and the tight end's in the flat all by himself. So good call, kind of got him going. And then the touchdown pass to Cortland Sutton where he's rolling to his left, that's not an easy throw by any means. I don't care how open the guy is. You're rolling the opposite way and having to throw it back against your body. So that was a nice play. But, look, this is not an offense that's going to be a juggernaut by any means. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be very uninspiring, very, very conservative, and, you know, we could have a lot of naps on Sunday afternoons in Denver.
Well, I'm not agreeing with that. I mean, I'm not napping if the Broncos are in a football game. I don't care if it's 10-7. Broncos are winning games and are in football games. I was napping a few years ago when they're getting blown out in the second half, doing a lot of chores on Sundays. So, you know, I think our expectations here, we have got to realize, you know, what we're dealing with. And this is both quarterbacks. Even if Drew was the starter, there's going to be some quarters throughout the season that we look at and we're just like, oh, my gosh. And we saw Drew come in and not play well early, hold the ball too long, sack, fumble, those types of things. So, like, either one of these guys is not, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, et cetera here, right? So,
yeah, you're right.
Like, hey, there's going to be some times that it just doesn't look pretty, James.
Oh, you're right. And you know what, Stoke? That game, as meaningless as it was a perfect example of what the two guys are and why they went with Teddy Bridgewater, right? Like,
yep.
Teddy struggled early, but he didn't throw the ball to the other team, and he was 0-for-4 on the opening drive, but rode Melvin Gordon down the field, and they got a field goal and put points on the board. You know, they didn't turn it over. He didn't put him in a bad down and distance. That's what they were looking for. Drew Locke threw some passes in that game. If you go back and watch, it's like, man, that kid can sling it. He really can, and, you know, throwing – you know, 20-yard dig routes that are just darts and throwing it in between traffic. But the fumble, I don't care if you're playing behind backups. I don't care if you're playing with backups. Like, it wasn't a blindside blitz that you never saw coming. He held the ball forever. You have to get rid of the football there, or at the very least, you have to protect the football. That play, and I know it doesn't mean anything because it's the third preseason game, but that play is why Drew Locke is not the starting quarterback.
Yep.
It's those kind of mistakes. So, I don't disagree with you that, hey, you know, we're not talking about a battle here between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. It's kind of a pick your poison, and the Broncos decided to go with the guy that'll start 1-for-6 for 4 yards, but isn't going to turn it over versus the guy that's going to be the roller coaster. And I totally understand people who want to, you know, ride the people mover. I want to ride the roller coaster, and that's just a little bit more my mindset, my makeup, but I get it. I really do think that game is a prime example of why the Broncos went the way they went.
So already I'm starting to hear this sort of groundswell that, great, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, hey, you win, you know, maybe 9 games, you go 9-8 and you don't really make the playoffs. Maybe you contend, you're in the conversation, but you don't make the playoffs and all you do is hurt your draft position for another one of those can't miss quarterbacks coming out, next year. Do you look at it that way, that 9-8 would be a bad thing around here?
With Teddy Bridgewater, yeah. 9-8 with Drew Locke is a step in the right direction. The trajectory could continue up. 9-8 with Teddy Bridgewater, you've got a view on a pretty low plateau. That's the problem. I think with Teddy Bridgewater, it is playoffs or bust. There's no other reason to make this decision. If it's the goal in Denver, the goal in Broncos country, unlike George Payton believes, is not to play relevant games in November and December. It's to be a contender. They're not going to be a contender with either guy this year. I understand that. But the trajectory has to be getting you or have a viewpoint that could get to that. Otherwise, you're just spinning your wheels. You're going nowhere. And that's the issue I think a lot of Broncos country has with Teddy Bridgewater. It's certainly the one I have, is what's the point? Where are you going? The ceiling is not a playoff ceiling in my mind, or certainly not a contender type of ceiling. So you just get yourself in no man's land. You get yourself, Mike, to 9-8. You don't make the playoffs. What do you do with Vic? What do you do with Teddy? You're stuck where you might make bad decisions and bring them both back for 2022. And then you're looking at this of like, oh my goodness, do we got 2 years of this or 3 years of this? It just does put you in kind of no man's land that I think Broncos country wants to avoid. I would look at it, and I know this isn't a popular decision, but or opinion, but 5-12 is better than 8-9, 9-8. 9-8 is no man's land with Teddy Bridgewater. And that's what I think has Broncos country concerned.
I can't go there with you, James. I'll take 9-8. I'll take 9-8 right now, buddy. Von Miller returned. Cortland Sutton returned. Albert O returned. Melvin Gordon saw his first action. What'd you make of seeing those guys out there Saturday night?
It was great. You know, I think it was the gamble that Vic Fangio had to take. You had to get him on the field. You had to get him some action. He waited so they could do it on grass at home and, you know, had as much recovery time as possible. So, you know, you held your breath a little bit. And Vaughn was in the first series. It seemed like he wasn't in the second series. I'm like, okay, his night's done. But then he was back out there, he and Bradley Chubb, for the third series. So got the work, and then you kind of hold your breath, and you hope they escape without any injuries. I thought Courtland Sutton looked really good. Stoke, he's a guy that kind of been, you know, up and down during training camp, and I thought there was more down than up. He just didn't look like himself, but, man, he was moving around pretty good. Getting in the end zone obviously was great, so he looked good. Albert O looked good. Melvin Gordon, I know everybody's high on Javonte Williams, and everybody's looking forward to the future, but he's looked great throughout camp. You just didn't know how to gauge it because they don't tackle, but he just looks like, you know, he's just in better shape. He just looks like he's ready for a big season. And, man, he was really good in his stint on Saturday night. So if this team's going to be good offensively, it's going to be because of their running game. Melvin Gordon was his performance was very encouraging on Saturday night.
All right, James Merrillat, the man, the myth, the legend at DenverFan.com. Thank you, James.
You bet, fellas. See you.
All right, James Merrillat on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. I want to kind of expand on that, the idea of the of 9-8 being no man's land. And George Payton talked about it on Saturday night, how important it is for the Broncos to be relevant. What is relevant for you as a Bronco fan? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.